This is Roger Bennett of Men in Blazers.
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless.
You're listening to the Mouths of the South podcast.
Mouths of the South podcast, right here on Dirty South Soccer.
Rock on.
Eat it up.
This is the Mouths of the South podcast.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
The official Dirty South Soccer podcast.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Talking all things Atlanta United FC.
Don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, man.
We are
the Mouths of the South.
The South got something to say. That's all I got to say.
What's up, Atlanta? We are back with another exciting episode of the Mouths of the South podcast right here on DirtySouthSoccer.com, the SB Nation site for all things Atlanta United and Atlanta soccer. Follow along on Twitter at DirtySouthSoc, that's S-O-C, and at M-O-T-S Podcast. That's right, we are the Mouths of the South. Myself, Sam Franco, Eric Quintana, and Jason Smith. And I'll start things off by sending my condolences to our resident Liverpool fan, Jason Smith, as a Joe Allen.
Why you gotta do that? Right off the dirt? Like, you can't even wait like 10 minutes to dig that in. You just gotta do that crap. Right, like, not even 10 seconds into the podcast.
Yeah, as a Manchester United fan, the summer we're having with Zlatan and Henrik Mkhitaryan and most likely Paul Pogba, it's only right that I get to
Liverpool had bought literally eight central attacking midfielders. I don't know who the hell's starting. Like, I don't know. But we're fine. Whatever. It's cool. More speed.
That's the thing. You gotta run. That's what Jurgen Klopp did at Dortmund, and that's what he's gonna try to do here at Liverpool. I think Wijnaldum was a good signing, but yeah, you're right. There is not a whole lot of diversity in those signings. Kind of like the Hawks a few years back. Not a few years back, but in the early 2000s. When they drafted small forward after small forward after small forward.
Yeah, that was horrible.
And you couldn't really figure out.
It's an exceptional analogy right now. I just got to let you know. It's a wonderful analogy.
It is. It is. It is. Because, you know, both teams don't really win anything. So it's.
Oh, okay.
In recent memories, anyway. Look, I mean, Liverpool used to win back in the day, just like the St. Louis Hawks just used to win back in the day. We got a lot to get to today.
I can't wait for the season now.
Yes, some
EPL needs to go back immediately.
Yes, it does. Some signings for Atlanta United finally made official. We have Kenwyn Jones and Tito Villalba to talk about. We also have manager search to talk about. And we also have a really cool event that Eric and I got to take part of this past weekend, ATL SoccerCon, to talk about. And we will also be posting the audio in its entirety of our panel that we had with all the supporters groups, the Terminus Legion, Footy Mob, the American Outlaws Atlanta chapter, and Resurgence, about kind of the state of soccer in Atlanta and what the roles of fan groups should be. We're actually going to post that later this week, so look out for that on DirtySouthSoccer.com. But today, we have an episode to get to, and we will do just that. But first, how would you like to get all of your favorite teams' sports merchandise delivered straight to your doorstep?
I want goodie bags.
That's right. Everybody wants goodie bags. Check out fanessentials.net. All you do is subscribe and pick your team, and every month you get your team's gear shipped right to your door.
Yeah, they find the sports gear so you don't have to. Each fan box comes packed with some amazing gear. It makes for a great gift idea for any sports fan. Prices start just at $14.99 and go up to $34.99. Visit fanessentials.net. Use the promo code MOTS at checkout for 30% off your first month. Visit fanessentials.net to get all the essentials you need.
Prices from $14.99 to $34.99. I mean, you cut out a couple of your cups of Starbucks a month, and you got some sweet gear coming your way each month. So again, as Eric said, fanessentials.net. Use the promo code MOTS at checkout for 30% off your first month. All right, we'll start things off today with the first DP signing in Atlanta United history, Hector Tito Villalba from San Lorenzo in Argentina. We still don't know for sure where his loan is going to be. I think he has said it, but Atlanta United hasn't. Maybe they don't say anything. Maybe we kind of just see it happen from Tito's account, kind of like we did with Kenwin Jones when he announced his loan to Central FC back in his home country of Trinidad and Tobago. But this is a very exciting signing. I think just looking at some of the highlights, they posted a highlight package of him today on the Atlanta United social media accounts. And you guys will know what I'm talking about, where he dribbles through the legs of one guy, just, you know, puts it past him, runs past him, and then smashes one up for 90. Just goes to show you this kid's got a lot of talent. You're getting him early. And I think, you know, worst case scenario is that you have a very good player that you can use for a couple of years or more than that. Best case scenario, you get a really good amount of time, maybe two or three seasons out of him for Atlanta United, then you're able to sell him off for a nice profit down the line.
Yeah, it's obviously a good signing. One of the little things about where he's going out on loan, obviously none of us know yet officially. Obviously, it's rumored that he's going to go to Tijuana. But one of the Terminus Legion guys I happened to talk to at SoccerCon said that he asked him, and that Tito's response was basically, "Dude, I have no idea where I'm going. I have no idea where I'm going." And it was just kind of funny to hear that. You know, maybe there's some other teams outside of Tijuana, outside of Liga MX, that are still interested in trying to, you know, attain his services. And, you know, who knows? Maybe we're watching him in a different league than we originally thought we might see him in.
It'd be fun to see him in, like, the championship, honestly. I mean, that would kind of be boring, but I don't know. I'd like to see him in something I could watch him all the time. So the prospect of him being in Liga MX is going to be preferable, but it'd be cool to, you know, as a Liverpool guy, it'd be cool to see him in the EPL or something. But, you know, he maybe he would rather swim in, like, the Liga MX waters, and that would be hella fun because we could watch him all the time on, you know, your Unimas or Univision or whatever you would like to do.
I can tell you, I would not like that because it would give other teams the same idea Atlanta United had, and maybe try to scoop him up. I would prefer him not go to Europe because then the eyes are all on him and everyone can see him.
I think Atlanta United want to keep him close. You know what I mean? Keep him close and be able to keep a closer eye on him. So somewhere on this side of the globe would make more sense in that regard than shipping him off to Europe.
He's not going to the Battery. Sorry, Battery fans, but that's not. Or any other U.S. Sad. Team.
That would
happening.
Be pretty sweet if he did.
It would just be. I don't know. He'd be going up against children. He'd be the man. He'd be like the Goliath going against.
Why are you
all
hating on
mans.
Like the U.S. third division like that, man?
I mean, yeah. I know, no disrespect to USL, but I mean, have you seen this guy fly with the ball?
Yeah, I mean,
hashtag pro role for America, man. What are you doing?
not go there. But here's the thought I had about it. They probably would never do this, but I just thought it would be an interesting way to think about it. What if, and you guys might know a little more on this and completely kibosh this idea, but why not loan him to an MLS team? Because then he's actually getting acclimated to the league.
Interesting.
I don't know. I'd rather spring him on the league more of a. I mean, he's not a surprise at this point, but
that's a great point because then if you do loan him to
everyone knows how to play.
Everybody
him.
Knows his tendencies exactly. and stuff as opposed to. I mean, they're gonna figure that stuff out anyway down the line. But I guess you want to catch him off guard a little bit maybe in the beginning. That's actually not a bad way to think about it. But I still think that and maybe they can't loan him to an MLS team. I don't know, but that was just something I wanted to throw out there because he would be able to get acclimated to the league a lot quicker if you did that.
Yeah, I personally don't think I'm a fan of that, but I do. Here's the thing: I think in Argentina, Boca Negra said this at least a number of times on Friday when they were introducing him, Villalba, that is, and it basically said that Argentina is a more technical version of a better technical version of. MLS in the sense that it's fast, it's physical, and the only difference really is that they just know how to control the ball better and don't make as many mistakes, you know, while they're on the ball. So playing in Argentina, that's going to translate. I mean, you see it all the time with you know the Argentinian guys. Look at Valeri, look at Piatti. You know they came straight from I think they came straight from San Lorenzo if I'm not mistaken. But they played in that league. You know, Liga MX is a physical and fast league, a lot like MLS. Again, more technically sound. But, you know, it's not like I think he's better off going to Mexico or, you know, specifically, you know, right now Mexico, just because that's the only team that I really think he's going to.
I mean, I'd say the same thing, but and I don't know if this is MLS sacrilege to say this, but do you worry that being a part of a league like that, where maybe the buildup is a little bit more in rhythm and a little more, I don't know, technically sound, that all of a sudden you come to MLS and you find yourself, I mean, I guess Piatti and Valeri have been fine with it, but do you ever
worried about throwing off his timing?
Exactly, right? Are you worried that, like, having, you know, the bargain bin version of a midfield versus Liga MX or Argentina is going to throw off his ability to finish?
It's very interesting. I don't know if I would have thought about it like that, but I think that, you know, in terms of timing, in terms of him sending balls in terms of, you know, maybe him receiving some through passes and things like that, if you're playing at a much higher tempo and then switching to, you know, what you see in MLS, that is an interesting thing that I don't think a lot of people have thought about.
I don't know if it's that dramatic, though. I mean, it'd be one thing if you were talking about going from, I don't know, what's a fast...
Yeah, like Argentina to USL, maybe.
Sure, yeah. That would be a little more extreme. But MLS, it's definitely, you know, not on the same level as, well, I want to say not in the same level as the first division in Argentina, and obviously not as, well, I think it's universally understood it's not as good as Liga MX, but I don't think the drop off is that dramatic so that it's going to make a huge difference. I mean, you see,
Valeri struggled against the Sounders to find people to help him finish,
yeah,
or anything.
Yeah. But not only that, but it's not like they absolutely get demolished during Champions League. I mean, sometimes they do, but, you know, more often than not, no. I'd say like 50% of the time they're in the games, and if they get beat, it's not a blowout, and those are all usually all against Mexican teams.
Well, I mean, a lot of this stuff is yet to be decided, but, you know, I think wherever he goes, I think we can take the words of Kenwin Jones and his trust in the front office to just trust that they're going to make the right decision and loaning him out to the right place. And, you know, we'll be super excited when we can see Tito rocking the red and black with a little gold in there as well.
By the time you listen to this, it might actually have the deal might actually be done. It was supposed to be done. Well, from what Carlos told me, it was supposed to be, they were hoping it would be finalized by the end of last weekend. So obviously that passed, given that we're recording on Monday and still haven't heard anything. Some people think they might not announce anything altogether. They just might send them.
Keep your fingers crossed. The team never really announced anything about Kenwin. I mean, we saw Kenwin put happy to go back to Central FC on his Twitter account, and that was that.
I guess we could make the same point for Kenwin, but I'm not really worried about Kenwin. I mean, I feel like, you know, I guess
experience for days.
Yeah, well, like, also, you know, the broader point is probably just, you know, being able to find the back of the net is just being able to find the back of the net, and you can do it in whatever league you can do it in. And if that's not a thing that you possess, then you were never going to possess it regardless of the league anyway.
Honestly, I think it helps strikers to kind of play in worse off leagues for a while, just because it makes them have to capitalize so much more on the lack of good service. So it's like when you finally get that good ball in or that good through ball, you have to finish it because you're not going to get very many of them. So I think it teaches you to take your chances better by playing maybe in a league where you're not getting the same service as you would at a higher level. So I think for Kenwin, he'll be fine. And we can transition now into Kenwin Jones, you know, a player who came from the EPL for a large chunk of his career. I think it was some 7 years spent between Stoke and Sunderland. He's a guy who is very strong, a very sturdy striker, very good back-to-goal striker, knows how to involve his teammates, very lethal in the air at times. And this is a guy who I think is coming at 31 years old. He's coming to the league when he's still got a lot left in the tank. And striker, especially his style of striker, doesn't necessarily have to be the youngest guy just because he can use his spatial awareness, his positioning, his back-to-goal skills to continue to play well and not necessarily have to use speed and quickness and things like that to be effective.
I love the combination of him and Villalba.
Me too, man.
I mean, it's a natural assumption that, you know, they're going to be starting up top, or the combination of the two will be a very potent part of the Atlanta United offense or attack. And just thinking of how Vijalba can play off of Kenwin, and how honestly Kenwin can just play off of Vijalba, considering, you know, he's a winger and he can cross and he can, you know, get, you know, back to the touchline and pass it back into to the middle of the box. It's going to be crazy how many goals they're going to score.
I totally agree with you. I think the two things we're going to see there is, like you said, we're going to see a lot of sort of, you don't really see overlapping runs too much from a winger striker perspective. That's more from the fullback to the right side, but, or the left side. But, you know, if you see Tito coming in and, you know, you have that hold up play from Kenwin Jones, yeah, Tito can slip right in behind and you can definitely, I think, get some pretty good goal scoring opportunities that way, as well as just, you know, Tito using his speed on the outside and sending balls into Kenwin. So I definitely think that you're starting to see the way that this team is going to attack, and the way that this team is going to have an offensive identity is going to be playing through the wings and trying to send balls in. And I think just with those two players, just trying to imagine, I think they could also run a pretty successful counterattacking style.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
I wouldn't want to go shots fired on Toronto, but this is almost as if Giovinco had anyone else to help him as a, you know, as a target man. Yeah. Because, I mean, as much as we love Josie on this podcast, you
we
know,
don't.
Like, pour one out.
Yeah, wait, what?
Don't. Just the idea of Josie Altidore. Pour one out for Josie and his hamstrings. But, you know, as much as I love Josie Altidore.
Well, the idea of Michael Davies and Josie Altidore as a strike partnership back in 2009 was great. But come on, Jason, this is 2016.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the idea, right? So, as much as I love that, if you could have a guy...
Charlie Davies, not Michael Davies.
Yeah, exactly. If Vijalba could be the Charlie Davies to our Kenwin Jones, Josie Altidore, and I honestly feel like that's an upgrade on at both positions, yeah. even like back in 09, that could be a sight to behold. If you run a 4-3-3, or even like, you know, talking formations real quick, if you do a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1, you can expect like Vijalba to be on the right side, Kenwin to be up top, and then you're looking for a complement on the left-hand side in either formation. And, you know, you start looking around at like at some of the big board for wingers, and it gets pretty fun. You could talk about Kakuta Mane could be on our left side. You could talk about Andrew Carlton being on the left side if he blossoms really well.
I mean, is it time for Arjen Robben to come to MLS?
Actually, time out. Is Guardado left-footed?
I think they were playing him. I think El Tri was playing him on the left side from what I remember.
I can't remember now.
I know that Tecatito is left-footed, but that would be a coup to end all coups if that happened.
I mean, I can pull up FIFA real quick and find out.
Well, no, I love that both of these guys have very similar backgrounds in terms of the style of soccer they play. You know, obviously, we just talked about how Argentina is very similar. It's an upgraded version of what MLS is. But in terms of the physicality, you know, and how fast those games run, you know, it's good to see that he can, you know, you can obviously handle that. But on Kenwin's side, he's obviously played in a million CONCACAF games. So
by the way, Guardado is a preferred left.
Okay. So yeah, there you go. There's a
that works.
What's up? But anyways, just the fact that Kenwin will know what to expect. You know, he's done this numerous times, and he knows exactly how to play in those kind of systems where it's going to be super physical. It's going to be very CONCACAF-y. That's what I love. I love that, you know, Vijalba has had success in Argentina, and that he can handle himself, and he's only 21 years old, and he's super fast, and I don't know. What else have you guys seen? I love the kid, but yeah, that was interesting to me. The fact that they're both playing in similar, you know, similar sort of playing leagues that have the same playing styles.
Sorry,
more or less.
I got distracted because you used the word CONCACAF, and that's like my favorite adjective in the English language.
CONCACAF.
But
it's a real thing. It connotes a Shiv Alley fight.
It also connotes having apartments for your cats in Trump Tower. But that's another story. That's another story for another day. You know, I think that obviously with Kenwin and with Tito coming in, a lot of people are kind of talking about the fact that there's no manager yet. And so some people look at it from the perspective of it's better to have the manager and let him kind of have the oversight into these players. But I think we're more used to in the American sports scene the general manager and the technical, I guess we could say technical director in this case, or even president with Darren Eels. But We're more used to somebody else making the decision and the coach just working with the pieces that he's given. It doesn't always happen that way, but I think when you look forward now, it's just now that the players are starting to come together, people are really starting to hone in on who is the coach, who's the manager going to be. And there are a bunch of candidates out there. There are some candidates that this podcast, or at least a member of this podcast, almost built a locomotive around. But unfortunately, the Christ train to Atlanta, anyway, was derailed when he took the job down at Orlando City FC, or as I like to call them, Orlando. We have the most butt-hurted fans in the United States for any sport, FC.
Can I say something about Christ now that he's officially off the board?
Oh, yeah.
Looking back on it now, I don't think I gave enough thought to how much control he wanted, or he might want, at least in Orlando now. That probably there's a reason, you know, Carlos and Darren Eels, that they're already scouting players because they're trying to grab the best possible MLS like talent or talent that will succeed in MLS, the best quality of that best quality of players with that in mind that they can, and they can't wait for a manager, or they can't wait to decide on a manager to do some of that stuff. Coaches get fired all the time. Jason Kreis is about to go into a system where he has to work with the players he has. Everyone in unless you're starting a team like Atlanta United is, everyone walks into a situation where you already have a group of players and you got to make it work. So that, that to me is not a big deal. But when it comes to Jason Kreis, wanting that control might have turned them off early. I didn't give that enough thought to when I first started wanting him, desiring him for landing.
Eric would still like to speak to you for a moment about our Lord and Savior, Jason Kreis, though. If you're willing to open your doors to us real quick.
Oh, not anymore. He has gone to the dark side.
Yeah, he has. And before we jump into the manager thing, I did bring something up that I want to talk about for a second here, and that's some Twitter exchanges that not just our Mouths of the South podcast Twitter account, at MOTS podcast, but also myself, I had with some Orlando fans today that just kind of go to show you that this rivalry is, it seems early enough, like it's going to be exhausting.
It's almost dumb that it started this early, isn't it?
It really
is.
Yeah,
it's kind of stupid.
Like, I enjoy it. I get kicks out of it. Sometimes I'm bored and I try to, when I'm bored, I try to instigate, some of the Orlando fans, but at the same time, I sit back and I'm like, man, we still have 8 months before we even kick a ball. This is way too early.
I want to embrace the we don't play soccer yet thing, and there's certain times where I want to push back against it. This is definitely one of those times where I'm like, we don't play soccer yet. Stop.
Yeah, and the Orlando fans are getting just too quickly butthurt as they just to say it earlier today, one guy tweeted me, or he tweeted something along the lines of comparing everybody in Atlanta to a bunch of Young Thug wannabes, which basically he was trying to deny the fact that there was any sort of racial connotation to that to me. And I just called him out for being in denial then, because, I mean, if you're making that kind of a statement, then obviously there's some sort of racial connotation to it. But it just kind of goes to show you that, fan is short for fanatic, and there's a bunch of people out there that will support their team, and I think, at one point Eric used the Mouths of the South podcast Twitter account to say something like, we have jobs, we have lives, but some of these people just spend a large amount of their day and their life wanting to troll others on the internet. It just seems like this rivalry is going to go that route.
I think it's going to even get bigger now that Jason Kreis is gone. I think now he has something to prove, and he's going to want to kick our butts. I bet he wants to kick our butts just because we didn't hire him.
That could be fun.
I have nothing to base that off of, but it would be fun to think that, so that when, Orlando City comes to Atlanta and he's got this chip on his shoulder and I'm going to prove everyone wrong on top of the fact that he did so bad in New York.
I'll say this, though. The one thing that's been great about the New York Derby recently is that both coaches want to beat the ever-living you-know-what out of each other, and that has made that rivalry a hell of a lot of fun.
Was it Sunday or Saturday?
I forget. Sunday. Sunday.
It almost looked like, I don't even know why that mattered, but it almost looked like, what was that game? It was Arsenal and Chelsea when Mourinho was still at Chelsea.
And Marino's just lit about beating
Yeah, Carson. They just, I just forgot. They just start going at each other.
Yeah.
It was.
I mean, MLS needs more of that. You know, like I've been, like Portland and Seattle needs more of that. Like, I don't know why Portland and Seattle's managers don't hate each other, but like Caleb and Siggy seem to be fine. If and when Siggy gets fired, I'm hoping they hire someone who hates Caleb Porter, because that would make that a lot more fun. The fact that, like, Jesse Marsh and Patrick Vieira, like, you know, that Vieira's getting thrown out after the first water break, and that Marsh is, like, basically, you know, fist pumping every goal as if he just won MLS Cup. Like, I'm all about that kind of rivalry. If Kreis goes to Orlando and makes that a dynamic that Atlanta has to either respond to or has to one-up, it's going to be great. Like, that's really good for the league.
Yeah, it certainly is. And we'll dive into some guys that are either out of work or some that maybe just are kind of fantasy names. And when I jump into this part for manager speculation, or when we're throwing out names like Roberto Martinez, Steve Bruce, didn't you say off the pod, Tim Sherwood was the name, Jason? So,
Timmy.
Are those pipe dream names? I mean, these are EPL guys, EPL managers. Are we thinking too big? Is the scope too much for us to be considering those types of names?
I mean, we have connections to some of those guys. Like, I've written a piece about some Premier League experienced managers that Atlanta United could try to grab. I don't think Steve Bruce is necessarily out of the question. He might, like, honestly, he might be one of the more fantasy names, just because I figure Steve Bruce is pretty well in demand because he got Hull up to the Premier League after, honestly, a championship season that Hull had no business going back up, in my opinion. But they were so much better than Sheffield Wednesday in the playoff. This is to get past MLS again. We got to drop back to the hashtag stick to MLS. I think a guy like Roberto Martinez, most people have probably sort of soured on his style of play across the pond, and people in America love him. I don't know why money again is the big barrier. I don't know why he wouldn't want to come. I mean, Darren Eales has relationships due to his history in Tottenham with Harry Redknapp or Tim Sherwood. So those guys to me aren't out of the question as rumors, you know. Gary Monk is my, like, you know, forever boo. I would love to see Gary Monk here. But that's mainly because I feel like Gary Monk would want to fight every other MLS manager and also would be smarter than them. And I don't really think a guy like that is going to come to MLS for cheap. And so it probably won't happen, but it would be fun.
Guys, yeah, no, it certainly would be fun.
What if it's Carlos Bocanegra?
Oh, man. It really could be.
What if?
No, I mean, what if it's Landon Donovan?
Someone asked him that at the press conference. He just kind of like shrugged it off and thought it was funny. But here's my thought on EPL managers. I don't understand how they don't have jobs yet.
Yeah.
And a month or 2 months ago, I would have been like, no, there's no way. They'll get signed by someone else. They'll stay in Europe somehow or whatever. But I'm just glad
that David Moyes got hired by Sunderland, because any speculation of David Moyes to Atlanta United might have killed me.
But any talk 2 months ago, I would have brushed it off as they'll get picked up by someone. That's a pipe dream. But now that we're halfway through the summer, almost over July, I'm starting to think that could be a legitimate possibility that Atlanta United has plucked one of these guys out of the. Like, what if Roberto Martinez and, I don't know, any other name, are waiting to hear back from Atlanta United before they pick some other job in Europe? What if they want to come to MLS?
That's so ridiculous.
That would be awesome. And look, I think Roberto Martinez is a guy who would love the opportunity, because it would afford him other opportunities. You know, if he's in the United States, it's much easier to, you know, go up and moonlight at ESPN or, you know, do some other things. And that could only bring more notoriety to Atlanta United if he's off doing that. So, you know, I think that he's a guy to look out for. I also think that it might be, like I said, a pipe dream. I don't think it necessarily is, but I just don't know what our expectations should be. And quite frankly, outside of these candidates, I don't really know who to even expect. I mean, they could go completely out of left field and hire someone we don't know. What about, you know, I've talked about it a couple times, is Bob Bradley. I know that he's got a job over in the French second division, but could he be a guy that would want to come home? When you talk about relationships, well, Bocanegra definitely has a relationship with him.
I'm sure the call went out, but if I'm Bob Bradley and I really want to get to, you know, a top flight league and a top team and be the first American coach to coach one of these, you know, big name teams, if he moves to MLS, that ship, you can kiss that one goodbye. Because he's not.
Bob really wants Ligue 1.
That's why I don't think he's gonna. You know, he's even in the conversation. But if he did want to do that, you know, he'd be saying bye to. You know, he'd be canceling that trip to Europe for a few years.
If you want to dream really big, Marcelo Bielsa did quit Lazio after 2 days.
You could always incredible.
Throw a lot of money at Bielsa.
I don't know why my head went this way, but I thought you were gonna go Marcelo Balboa.
You want to know a totally crazy dude I would kind of love to see in MLS is Paulo Di Canio. Y'all remember that guy from Sunderland back in the day?
Yes, Paulo Di Canio. I remember he scored a ridiculous scissor kick goal for West Ham when he was a player once.
See, I didn't even know him all that well as a player. I only know him as a manager.
He's kind of a fascist.
Yeah, he's nuts. I mean, he's insane. But I remember him doing like a sliding celebration in a full like. I don't even know what the suit was, but a very nice suit that he clearly ruined during the Tyne Wear Derby once. So I'd be all about Paulo Di Canio. He'd probably get ejected almost every game, but it'd be fun.
I was talking to someone over the weekend, and we both mentioned two names that I think we'll definitely see in Atlanta, Josh Wolf and Clint Mathis. Mm-hmm. Not saying that either one would be head coach, but that in some way I bet they end up being assistants down here.
You know the dude who's still out there, and I don't know. We have to mention him just because Sam's on the podcast. The notorious LVG is still out there.
That's true.
Lubin Hall is still there. I mean, I'm just saying he's kicking around. You want to go free in the back in MLS? He's there.
This is a man who once referred to QPR as Queen's Park Raisins.
Yes.
So yeah, I don't know if I can get on board with that. But one of the funnier things he ever did was I think at the end of his first season. At Manchester United, he like grabbed the mic to address the fans, and he's like, "I love you all, goodbye," and then like walks off of the field. The guy is nuts. His press conferences are fantastic. There was one press conference where he kept referring to Chris Smalling as Mike, and like I think he had been the coach for like a year, so like he's referring to one of his best center backs as Mike. So I don't have anything on Louis van Gaal other than it would be just a day in and day out laugh riot.
You know another dude who I'm looking at right now? I'm looking at transfer markets available managers right now. Here's a guy who doesn't have a job. Just going back to this topic, and we can edit this out if this gets too off, stick to MLS. But Remy Gard still doesn't have a job, and that blows my mind. Because Remy Gard was supposed to be like one of the best, he's 50, but like one of the better managers out there, and Villa got relegated and he's just in the woods now. I don't know where he is.
So I just saw something come across my Twitter timeline where Steve Bruce penned a letter to Hull City fans. He was desperately, he desperately tried to make it work, but that he had to walk away, but it was a decision he had to make for the sake of the club.
Psh, you lying.
So, yeah, I'm not exactly sure what happened there, but Steve Bruce would be an interesting name for sure. But other than that, I don't have anything. Now I just can't stop thinking about Louis van Gaal on a press conference, if that press conference was taking place inside the bins as opposed to...
We have drifted into La La Land.
Yeah,
yes. We have. We're like three quarters down the rabbit hole. We need to start making our ascent out
Eric's
of the rabbit hole.
Eric's just pulling back on that yoke right now.
Let's get back to Earth, guys.
We needed it. And getting back to Earth, one thing that actually did happen this past weekend, Eric and I were part of it, was really cool. The ATL Soccer Con. It was a bunch of sweet stuff. There was a bunch of jerseys. People had some sweet jersey collections. And, of course, we did our panel with the supporter groups. And I thought everything went really well. In fact, the audio we were able to get, was able to clean it up a little bit today. And as I mentioned earlier, we will have that posted later this week as a standalone edition of the podcast. But Eric, what were your thoughts on the inaugural or initial ATL SoccerCon?
No, it was fun. It's always good to drink with a bunch of other soccer guys. And
amen to that.
It was super hot. So whoever unplugged the air conditioning, you know, you're in for a world of karma hurt. Because that was mean. It was super hot in there.
The beer was cold. So
it was cooler outside, and this was the middle of the day than it was in Red Brick. But there were a lot of people there, so it was still fun. It was fun. It was you saw a bunch of old school throwback jerseys, and you know, you had what's that game called? The soccer game? I never
remember. Sabudo. Sabudio or something.
Whatever it's called. That looked cool. It looked like
yeah, Sabudio. It's called Sabudio.
It reminded me. It's like the super super soccer nerd stuff, and it just reminds me of
It looked like soccer chess to me.
Yeah, honestly, that's what it looks like. But I've never played it. That's the first time I'd seen it. But it reminded me of you know, when like Pokemon cards were a big thing, and people would sit around the lunchroom just, you know, going at it with their cards, you know, getting really really into it. That's what it looked like to me. But it looked a lot more interesting, obviously, because it's soccer and not Pokemon. But otherwise,
be careful with that. They're coming out of the woodwork now.
The jersey selection was great. You know, you had Lloyd Soccer there selling some stuff.
That's right.
What else did you have? I mean, honestly, just looking at all the old jerseys was really cool. That was really something to see.
Yeah, and I think that's something that could only get bigger and better as ATL Soccer jumps into actually, you know, having a team. So I think it was a cool event, and props to our man Jason Longshore and Austin Long and everyone else that was involved in throwing it, because it really was a fun time had by all. And hopefully, again, other than the heat, but even our man Jason Longshore said that's something they'll try and work around next year. But yeah, it was a really cool event. A shout out to Terminus Legion, Footy Mob, Resurgence, and the American Outlaws Atlanta chapter. I had to get myself one of those American Outlaws Atlanta scarves. Those things were really sweet. It says AO Atlanta on one side, has a skyline on the other side. It says From the Ashes, and it's got a bunch of different of like suburbs and cities. And I noticed when I was driving home, I looked down at it, and Druid Hills is like in really like prominent section. So I was really happy about that. But yeah, it was definitely cool, and one of those things that we hope will only get bigger and better, and hopefully we can be involved with it going forward. So I guess that's really all we got today, unless Jason wants to play a round of Tell Darren Eels What to Do.
Man, I need to start coming more prepared for this stuff, don't I?
Yeah, but that's the thing. There's not really anything. They're doing everything kind of. I mean, obviously it's their job. So
well, I'm gonna hedge my bets here then and say, hey, Darren, hire a manager.
Okay,
that'd be a good one. As if I, you know, when I brag about this later, it's because obviously I told Darren to do it now on the podcast.
That is stellar advice. From
by the way, I should mention real quick that we met Darren recently at the Battery exhibition game that we went to, and Darren is such a super class dude that he even asked me about my kid.
He did. That's right. He did.
It's nuts to me that man even like gives a crap about me having a baby. So Darren, if you're listening, and I'm telling you what to do, you're a super class dude, and I appreciate you very much.
Yeah. And he's telling you
to stay classy.
And if you guys have seen our Facebook or Twitter banner picture with all of us, with Darren and Richard Money and also Carlos Bocanegra, we took that in front of a trophy case as symbolism, folks.
Yes.
It is symbolism for the amount of trophies that Atlanta United is going to bring with this brain trust and this podcast all attached to it.
So Richard Money is also terrifying, by the way.
Was, yes,
meeting that dude in person, I'm like, I will never not do what you tell me in the academy.
Exactly. So, it's good to have him as the guy making sure everything's going right with the academy.
It reminds me of Bruce Willis, and then, like, he never smiles. He's got the bald head.
But then when he does smile, you're like, oh, you're the sweetest man in the world. Like, Richard Money smiled at me, and I was like, oh, my God, you're, like, the best dad ever. But then I'm also like, I will never disobey you in my entire life if you tell me to do something.
When he's not talking to you and he's got that resting face, you know, he looks like a bad man. You do not want to mess with him.
Well, I guess that'll wrap things up for this edition of the Mouths of the South podcast. Be sure to check out our next episode coming up in a couple days. I think we'll drop it this Thursday, where it's just going to be the audio recording of our panel with all the supporters groups at the ATL SoccerCon. And we look forward to you guys listening to that. So if you weren't at ATL SoccerCon, you can see kind of how awesome it was and how well that panel went. So definitely looking forward to you guys getting to hear that. Don't forget to check out DirtySouthSoccer.com for all things Atlanta United and all things Atlanta Soccer. Follow on Twitter at DirtySouthSoc. You can also follow us on Twitter at MOTS Podcast. Send us an email, MOTSpodcast@gmail.com. I'm at Sam J. Franco on Twitter. Jason is at Jason is a Smith. And Eric is at Eric Quintana 47. So that'll wrap things up for us on this edition of the Mouths of the South podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to more news dropping in the coming weeks, maybe some more players, maybe a manager. Who knows? That is why it is an exciting time to be an Atlanta United fan, as things are really starting to come together.
Maybe so, some more ludicrous tweets.
And more ludicrous tweets as Luda and Kenwin Jones. I can just see a bromance budding in the early stages right now. So we'll have much more to get to in the coming days, weeks, and months. So keep it locked here on the Mouths of the South podcast for DirtySouthSoccer.com. We'll be back next time with another exciting episode. See ya.
Bye.